Well, tonight we are in Mark chapter 1. We're actually going to finish it tonight. Mark chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 40. And tonight we're going to be looking at the story of the cleansing of the leper, the man who came to Jesus who was full of leprosy. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless this time and speak to our hearts. Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we know that your word is inspired. We know that it's God-breathed, that you were the one who instructed Mark to write this gospel, to pen the very things that we're going to look at tonight that are a picture for our lives, that are a picture for this generation. And Lord, tonight as we look at it, we pray that by your Spirit you would minister to our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight as we watch and we see and this man who was radically cleansed and touched by you, Lord, we pray tonight that there would be those here who would experience that same type of cleansing, that same type of touch. So Lord, we give you this time. We pray that our hearts would be attentive, that our ears would be open, that your Spirit would be able to speak to us, to have your way in this place during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places that they came to him from every direction." Leprosy in Jesus' day was one of the most feared of all diseases. And it was a deadly disease. All those who were infected with it, they died a very slow death. You see, leprosy is a disease that starts below the surface of the skin, but eventually it spreads throughout the entire body. And eventually the effects of the disease are clearly seen as these spongy-like tumors begin to swell up upon the skin. And then the person's skin turns white and the flesh, it begins to deteriorate. It visibly begins to rot. And as it begins to rot, it creates this horrible, horrible stench. A leper colony is a very, very smelly place. And because of that rotting of the flesh, parts of the body literally begin to fall off as they rot away. And that's something that begins to happen in the life of the leper. And that's why if you've ever seen a leper, one of the things that you notice is like they might have stubby hands. Or they might have a face that doesn't have a nose because the parts of the body or the ears, they just begin to fall off. They just begin to rot completely. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Judaism, leprosy was second only to touching that of a dead body in its seriousness. In fact, anytime a leper would come into an area where people were congregating, he had to cover his face and yell at the top of his lungs as he approached, "Unclean! Unclean!" to give a warning to everyone there that someone who was unclean was approaching so that they could flee, so that they could take cover, so that they could run. That was the life of the leper. Now the Talmud forbid a Jew from coming closer than 6 feet of a leper. And if the wind was blowing, the limit was 150 feet because leprosy was very, very contagious. And so if somebody with leprosy walked into the sanctuary tonight, we would need to stay probably because the air conditioning's on 150 feet away. It'd be like, okay, you stay over there at that back door and all of us are going to run over here. Keep your distance. And that was how they looked at it. That was how they approached it. Leprosy, though, in Scripture is a picture for us of sin. This is what I want us to consider tonight. As we look at the cleansing of the leper, first of all, we want to see how leprosy is a picture of sin. And I want us to note three ways. First of all, it starts small, but eventually it spreads throughout the whole body. That's what leprosy does, and sin is the same way. It starts small, but it spreads. It seeks to take over. It's like the man who had a 2-year-old lion cub as a pet. And when he first got that little lion cub, it was, you know, just a couple months old, and it was very, very small, and it was very, very cute, and it was very, very playful, and it was very, very, it wasn't threatening at all, this little lion cub. But then it began to grow. And every night, that man would take that lion cub, and he'd put it into the bathroom, and he'd close the door, and that's where the lion slept, as he went and slept in his room. But now that lion, it was full grown. And he goes to try to put it into the bathroom one night, and it decides, man, I don't want to sleep in the bathroom anymore. And I don't want any cat chow anymore. I'm tired of eating that. I want to eat you. And that's what it did. It jumped on the man, killed him. True story. And that's what happens so often with sin. It starts small, but eventually it takes over. It spreads. You know, I have counseled men who have had an affair. Men who have committed adultery. I don't even like that word affair because it just sounds too nice. Men who committed adultery. Men who had sex with another woman other than their wife. And they ruined their families. But you know what? It never ever happened with one guy saying to another guy, "Hey Marty, let's go get drunk, get some hookers, and ruin our lives. What do you think?" Never happens like that. It never starts like that. It never begins like that. No, it starts small. Lunch with a female coworker. Just sharing a nice little meal and a nice little conversation. No big deal, right? And then it progresses to sharing some intimate conversation. You know, man, I'm really having some hard time at home with the little lady, and, you know, it's just not coming together, and I'm kind of frustrated. And that sharing, that type of conversation, they're sharing their heart. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be there also." And when we go and we start sharing that treasure, we're sharing our lives with somebody else, our heart, it begins to follow. And that's how it starts. It starts small. Looking at a Playboy magazine, feeding lust. Looking at pornography on the internet. And then it begins to grow. You see, it never stops right there. Most drug users, another example, most drug users never are content to just smoke pot. There always is that sense of wanting to, as bad as pot is, but to progress to something else. It starts small and it spreads. I've known high schoolers who have ended up with AIDS, the AIDS virus. How did it happen? Did it happen because all of a sudden one day, just out of the blue, they decided, you know, I want to be promiscuous and I want to go have sex with a bunch of different guys or a bunch of different girls? No. It never starts like that. It started oftentimes with a movie that planted an idea and a seed inside of their mind. It started with a TV program that was promoting the idea that promiscuity was okay. And then it progresses to hanging out with the wrong people. And then it progresses to getting involved in an unequally yoked relationship. That means that you're dating somebody that isn't a Christian, or somebody who isn't walking with the Lord, or somebody who isn't as passionate with the Lord as you are. All of that could be considered an unequally yoked relationship. And it starts right there. It begins with, or it progresses with, going to a party where alcohol is being served, and then one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden they find themselves in bed with somebody. And they contract AIDS. I know high school kids that it's happened to. You see, sin is like leprosy because it starts small, but then it grows. It expands, it progresses, and eventually it takes over. It ends up in putting a person in bondage to it. Number two, leprosy is like sin because it desensitizes a person. Leprosy attacks a person's nervous system to the point where they lose all sense of feeling. Did you know that a person with leprosy can touch a piece of hot metal and not know that their flesh is burning? It's literally searing there in their hand. It's melting, and they don't even know it. They don't even realize it. Because the nervous system has been desensitized. They can't feel it. The nerve endings, they've been just deadened, so they can't feel it. They've rotted away. A person with leprosy can take a screw and turn it in their hands until their flesh is ripping away, and they don't even know that they're bleeding. They don't even know that blood is coming out. That's what leprosy does, and sin works the same way. You see, the Holy Spirit is like the nervous system of the believer. And the Holy Spirit in our hearts, when we are confronted with temptation, when we are confronted with sin, He brings a conviction, an uneasiness. He lets us know that, hey, this is hurting. This isn't good. It's like an alarm going off in our hearts, warning us. But the more a person ignores the alarm, the more desensitized that they become towards sin. The more that they ignore that conviction, the more desensitized they come to a place that Paul describes in the book of Ephesians as being past feeling. They don't feel it anymore. They don't hear that voice. They don't hear that tugging, and they're giving in to that compromise. And that's what's happening. That's what's taking place. And if you're here tonight and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, know this. The Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart. He's been seeking to convict you of your sin and the fact that you are a sinner, that your sin has separated you from God, that you need a Savior. And He comes, and tonight it's another one of those opportunities where He's knocking on your heart. But the question is, how strong is that knocking? Is it loud, or is it a faint little knock? Because you've been turning Him off, you've been saying no to Him, you've been ignoring that alarm for a long, long time. That's what happens so often with sin. Sin, it desensitizes. Some of you who are Christians, you're in a dangerous spot tonight because you have been playing with sin. You've been playing with compromise in your life, and it's been spreading. It's been carrying over, and you are on the verge of being put back into bondage and being enchained to that sin. But all along, the Holy Spirit, your nervous system, has been seeking to warn you. He's been knocking. He's been trying to make you feel uncomfortable. But you're becoming more and more desensitized. In fact, I fear that there's some right here tonight who have already tuned me out, who have already shut me off, who've already in their minds thinking, you know, I can't wait for the music to start again. Can't wait to get out of here. You're in a dangerous, dangerous spot. What's the answer? It's to repent. It's to turn from the sin. It's to realize the seriousness of it and turn to the Lord. So leprosy is like sin because it starts small and it spreads. It's like sin because it desensitizes. And number three, leprosy was humanly incurable. There was no potion, no medicine that could cure a man of leprosy. And understand this, the same is true about sin. There's no human formula that can cure a person of sin. There's no doctor that you can go to about your sinful condition that can say, hey, take three of these and you'll be okay. There is no such thing. There's no human formula. Sin and leprosy were and are fatal diseases. A leper was doomed, and listen, so is a sinner. A sinner who dies in his sin, he's doomed. There's no hope. So what can we learn about the cleansing of the leper here in this story and how it applies to our lives? Well, if you're taking notes, note number one, first of all, he knew that he needed to be changed, and he wanted to be changed. That's the first thing that we need to see. This guy saw his condition. He saw the wreck that he was in. He saw the mess that his life was because of his leprosy. And he saw his condition. He wanted to be changed. He knew that he needed to be changed, and he wanted to be changed, and so he risked the ridicule by coming up to Jesus, invading the crowd, invading the group that was there, and coming into it, and coming right up to Jesus, risking the ridicule, risking the put down, risking whatever trouble he might have got into because of that, because he knew that he needed to be changed, and he wanted to be changed. But the problem with some people is they know that they need to be changed, but they really don't want to be changed. When my youngest daughter, Amanda, was in diapers when she was a little girl, she's 9 now, but when she was little, you know, she wore diapers like most kids. And when she would do a number in her pants, she needed to be changed. And it was apparent. I mean, you could smell the aroma, you know, throughout the house, and it'd be like, what's that? Oh, Amanda needs to be changed. But here was the weirdest thing. Many, many times, although she needed to be changed, she didn't want to be changed. For some reason, she liked sitting in that stuff, you know? I don't know why. I don't know what was going through her head. I don't know if it was the warmth or whatever it was, but like she found herself, you know, just like, no, you know, she would resist. We wanted to clean her up. We wanted to make her smell fresh. We wanted to put the baby powder on her and all of that. And it's like she would run from us. No, I don't want to be changed. Some people are like that. They're all messy. There's a stench. They need to be changed. They know they need to be changed, but they don't want to be changed. They're content in their sin. I think of Pharaoh there in the book of Exodus. Here Moses comes and says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, no way, I'm not going to do it. So God starts sending these plagues into Egypt. And one of the plagues that he sends, it's the plague of frogs. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. Egypt was by the Nile River, and so the frogs were coming out. And I don't think it was the little cute little tree frogs because of being by the river. It was those big bullfrogs, you know, those big slimy frogs. And they're everywhere. They're in the kitchen. They're in the underwear drawer. They're in the bed, you know. They're everywhere you can imagine. They're in the bathtub. And the Egyptians are at this place where they're just like, man, we can't handle this anymore. There's just frogs anywhere. I can picture Pharaoh's wife come to him and say, I don't care what you need to do. Yeah, I don't care who you need to let go, but we got to get rid of these frogs. And so Pharaoh comes to Moses and he says, okay, we've had enough. Truce. I give up. I'll let the people go. Just get rid of the frogs. And Moses says, well, when do you want the frogs to leave? And what does Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. It's like, what? Tomorrow? He's like, you know, I want to spend one more night with Jeremiah the bullfrog, you know? I mean, what is he thinking? One more night with the frogs. You'd think he would have said, right this instant. Right now. But so often, that's how you and I are. God comes knocking on our heart. The Holy Spirit, the nervous system, begins to speak to us about an area of our life that we know it needs to change. It needs to be dealt with. A sin that we need to repent of. Something that needs to change in our life. And we say, okay, God, I understand. I hear you, but I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll deal with it next Sunday night. Oh, next Sunday night is Halloween. I'll deal with it the Sunday night after that. That's when I'll deal with it. We're that way. And we turn off the alarm. I'm not going to listen to that right now. I have a confession to make tonight. Little insight into Pastor Rob. I don't know why I do this. But every time that I decide that I'm going to go on a diet or I am going to start a new workout routine, it always has to be on Monday. I might come, you know, the conclusion as I'm trying to put on a pair of pants and they're not fitting, you know, and it's like, you know, I gotta suck in the tummy, and it's Tuesday, and I say to myself, okay, I've got to go on a diet next Monday. I'm going to start. Not today. Next Monday. It's got to be Monday. Why am I that? I don't know. But all of us, a lot of us are that way. But when we're talking about a diet, we're talking about a workout routine, that's not that big of a deal. That's not that odd of a thing. But when we're talking about sin, we can't put it off. We can't wait. We can't say like Pharaoh, how about tomorrow? We need to deal with it today. Because the longer that we allow it to sit, the more that it's going to spread, the more damage that it's going to do. So first of all, we see that this leper knew that he needed to be changed and he wanted to be changed. The second thing is we want to consider how he came. How did he come? And there's three things that we want to know. First of all, he came humbly. Verse 40 tells us that he knelt before Jesus. He came humbly. He came and he knelt. That was an act of humility. You know, if I come and Evan's up here and I come and I kneel down before him, what I'm saying is, by my actions is I'm humbling myself before him. I'm saying, you're worthy, man. You're the greatest. You deserve honor. Now, I wouldn't do that to Evan. We shouldn't do that to anybody. But that's what this guy was projecting here with his actions, with his body language, coming and kneeling down and saying, he was humbling himself and saying, you're the Lord. I place my life in submission to you. He didn't come demanding of Jesus. He didn't come and say, look, I'm a leper and you need to heal me. He didn't do that. He came humbly, begging and asking. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's a great promise. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So he came in humility. The next thing we see is that he came in faith. It says there that he came and he said these words, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The question wasn't in Jesus' ability, it was in his willingness. And he was saying, look, I know that you can do this. I'd love for you to do this. I have this need. I want to be cleansed. So if you're willing, you can. You can make me clean. You can touch me. It was a prayer of faith. Lord, if you're willing, you can do this for me. So we see here actually two things, that he came in humility, he came in faith. Now let's consider quickly the response of Jesus in verse 41. We're told there, number one, that he had compassion on the man. Now this blesses me. He had compassion on him. He was not condescending to him. He didn't say, stop and say, how dare you come and approach me, you sicko? He doesn't do that. He doesn't like, oh man, get away from me. You're a leper. He doesn't do that. He wasn't condescending. He was filled with compassion. His heart broke for this man. Not only was he not condescending, but he also wasn't condemning. He wasn't condemning. He didn't condemn the man. You know, we need to learn. And if you don't have this down yet, I encourage you to jot this down tonight, the difference between conviction and condemnation. The voice of conviction is of the Holy Spirit, and conviction says, you are sick, you are unclean, so come here so I can cleanse you. That's the voice of conviction. The Holy Spirit in our hearts always seeking to pull us in, to draw us near, to deal with our sin. You're sick. You're unclean. There's sin in your life. You need to turn from it and turn to me so I can cleanse it, so I can work in it. That's always the voice of conviction. The voice, though, of condemnation is that voice that says, you are sick, you are unclean, and I don't want you, so stay away. It's that voice of the enemy that is always saying those words. Hey, God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. You've blown it too bad this time. You've messed up too much. You're too unclean. Your life's too much of a mess. So just give up. Just throw in the towel. That's that voice of condemnation. We need to know the difference. If you're here tonight, and you're in a place of sin, I want you to know this, that Jesus doesn't look at you with eyes of anger. But he looks at you with a heart of compassion. Because you see, he sees you like a sheep running around without a shepherd. His heart breaks for you because he knows what that sin is going to do with you the longer that you linger in it. He sees, he knows the effect and how it's going to destroy your life. How, if you're married, perhaps it's going to wreck your marriage. If you're a young person, how it's going to maybe wreck your relationships later on in your life. And he sees that and he knows, and his heart goes out to you. It breaks and it's like, come. Understand that, man, that there's nothing in that for you of any lasting value. So come to me. Let me cleanse you. Let me work in you. You see, Jesus wants to set us free. So number one, we see he had compassion. Number two, we see there in verse 41 that he was willing. The leper says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And what does Jesus say? I am willing. Be cleansed. Jesus is always willing to cleanse sinners if we come to him in humility. If we come to him in honesty, confessing our sin, and if we come to him in faith, knowing that he's willing, he's always willing to touch and to cleanse and to heal. So first, he had compassion. Number two, he was willing. Number three, he touched him. Now, some have wondered about this passage, and they've thought, you know, hey, isn't he breaking the law of Moses by touching a leper? Because the law of Moses said that you shouldn't touch a leper. There's two explanations for this. In the Greek language, the idea here is as he said, I am willing, and reached out and touched him, that the two happen simultaneously. That is inferred here in the context in the original language, that it happened the two together. So he wouldn't have been breaking the law of Moses. But number two, another explanation could be this, that, you see, the law of Moses was written and given by God as a restriction for the people because of God's heart so that they wouldn't become infected. Don't touch a leper. Stay away from a leper. Well, Jesus, being God in the flesh, was above that. And as he would touch this man, that he wasn't going to be infected because his touch would bring a healing. That also is a possibility. You take your pick, but the point that I want to make here is that he touched him. Nobody touched a leper. No one reached out to a leper. People kept their distance from a leper. This guy comes back. Jesus doesn't recoil, but he goes to him. He reaches out to him. He touches him. And then by doing so, what was he communicating? He was communicating, look, I'm not repulsed by you. I'm not offended by you. Your life, your condition, it doesn't repulse me. I'm not afraid of you. No, I love you. He didn't have to touch him, but he touched him because he wanted to communicate, I think, that message to him. Look, I love you. And that's his heart toward us here tonight. No matter what the situation, no matter what the condition, no matter what place you find yourself in, his heart towards you is one of compassion. His heart towards you is one that desires to see you growing and moving and experiencing everything that he has for you and just experiencing life, and that more abundantly, that life in Jesus. And so Jesus wants to cleanse tonight. Jesus wants to set free tonight. Jesus wants to do a work in your heart tonight. And so he comes to you and he reaches out with those arms of love. Now, if we are still wondering tonight, as we look at our condition, are you willing? This would be the Lord's response to us tonight. He would say, look at my hands. And in those hands, you know what we would see is nail prints. We would see scars. The Bible tells us that he still bears the scars. And he will until he comes back. He bears those scars from the cross. And he would say, look at my hands. I was willing then, 2,000 years ago, when I hung upon the tree. And why did I hang upon that tree? To cleanse you. I hung upon that tree so that you could be cleansed, so that you could be set free. I was willing then, and I'm willing now. And he reaches out to us with those arms of love. And so tonight, the question that we need to consider as we look here at this story is, how are we like this leper? Are you tonight in a place, perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus Christ? Know this. You are in a place right now, your body, it's full of sin. Sin means to miss the mark of God's perfection. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and we've fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. You are infected with a deadly disease, and only Jesus can cleanse you. Only Jesus can cure you. He's willing to do that. The question is, are you? Are you? Perhaps you're here tonight and you have at one time given your life to the Lord. But then at some point in time, you walked away. You started doing your own thing. You've been living for yourself. You've been living in sin. You've been living in rebellion. And you've allowed that sin to just take over your life once again. And you're back involved in some of the things that you used to be. And you started some new things. And you've been ignoring all this time your nervous system, the Holy Spirit that's been seeking to say to you, look, stop it. Quit it. Turn from that and come back to me. Tonight, if you are in that place, know this. The Lord who loves you is willing to make you clean, to set you free, to allow you to walk out of here tonight with a brand new start. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Now, one last thing before the band comes back up. Jesus told this leper to go out and to show himself to the priest, but to not say anything to no one. But this guy, he doesn't listen to that. He goes and tells everybody. And the word spreads so much that at that particular time, Jesus was trying to kind of minister a little bit incognito, kind of keep a low profile. And the crowds were so big that he had to move on. He had to go out to the deserted places. And people were still coming from every direction. Well, listen, tonight, for those of us who have been made clean, that those of us, we know the cleansing we've experienced in our life that this leper has, Jesus doesn't say to us, don't tell anybody. You know what he says to us? Tell everybody. Let the world know. Because you see, no longer is he wanting to minister incognito, but man, he wants us to shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ, he heals. He touches. Your life is a testimony of the power and the work of God. And I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to share it. Don't be afraid to share it. Tell the world that we serve a God who cleanses and heals and touches. He's willing, and he's willing tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. And Lord, we rejoice tonight as we look at this story because, Lord, we see the picture's very clear. All of us here, we were that leper, full of sin, doomed. But Lord, you were willing to touch us. You were willing to cleanse us. And Lord, we thank you for that. But Lord, I pray tonight for those who are in our midst, who perhaps have never given their life to you. And they've been ignoring that nervous system, the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of their hearts. Not wanting to condemn, but wanting to cleanse. Not wanting to put down, but wanting to lift up. Not wanting to destroy, but wanting to bring life. Lord, I pray tonight for those in that situation that they would allow you to cleanse them tonight. And Lord, for those here who perhaps are in that place, where at one time they professed you as Lord and Savior, maybe even walked with you for a little while, but then they've walked away. They've been doing their own thing. They've been living just a lie. They've been living a life of compromise. They've been just ignoring the work, the voice of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they're at that place where they're becoming more and more desensitized. Lord, I pray tonight that they would respond to the urgings of your Spirit to turn from their sin and to turn to the Lord. Lord, we know that you're willing. Your death on the cross proves that. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray. With everybody keeping their head bowed and eyes closed, here's what I'm going to ask that we do. If you're here tonight and you know God's been speaking to you, you know that you need to turn from your sin and turn to the Lord, whether it's the first time or whether you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to take the same steps that this leper did and to come and to, in humility, kneel down before the platform here, in essence, kneeling before the Lord, coming in humility and coming in faith and saying, Lord, I believe that you're willing and I want to be cleansed. I want to be set free tonight. And if you do that, Jesus, he'll meet you here and he'll work in your life in that way this very night. So as the band begins to play, as we begin to sing this song, if God's Spirit has been speaking to you, I want to encourage you to just get up out of your seat, come kneel down up front here, and in a few minutes I want to pray with you. Let's pray. head down. If God's speaking to your heart, I want to encourage you to join those who are down front here. Don't say like Pharaoh tomorrow. Don't say like Pharaoh next week. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with the Lord. And so I want to encourage you as we go through this song one more time. You come in humility and kneel. You come and you present yourself to the Lord. And God will meet you tonight. He'll do a cleansing work in your life tonight. He'll do a work of setting you free. This very moment, just come. We're going to sing that through one more time.
You are the love I need. You are the end.
Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here tonight. For those of you bowing down here, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want you just to repeat this out loud after me, meaning this with all of your heart. Okay? Let's do that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your willingness to reach out to me, to die for me, to cleanse me. Lord, I admit tonight that I am a sinner. I admit that I've strayed from you. I admit that I have ignored the voice of your Spirit, but no more. I come to you tonight humbly. I come to you tonight in faith, because I want to be made clean. I want to be set free. And so I give you my heart tonight, fully and completely. I'm turning from my sin to turn to you, to live for you, to walk with you, to allow you to have your way in my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you guys can just hold tight here for a minute. You know, the Bible says that when one person turns from their sin and turns to the Lord, that all of heaven rejoices. And so they're rejoicing right now for you. And I want you to know, whether this is a first time or a recommitment for you, that this really is just the beginning of you walking with the Lord, of you allowing the Lord to do a work in your life. We want to help you in that. So if this is the first time, afterwards, we'd love to get together with you. We'd love to make sure you have a Bible. We'd love to share some things that will encourage you in how to grow in your walk with the Lord. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to just continue to have some time of worship. And you are welcome, if you desire, to just stay in this place of humility and just kneeling before the Lord and just worshiping Him here up front. We want to just give you that freedom to do that. If you want to go back to your seat, that's fine as well. But afterwards, I have a couple of things I want to share, you know, with you, and we want to make sure that you have a Bible. But know this tonight, Jesus is willing to touch you. He's willing to cleanse you. He is going to work in your life tonight, and you're going to leave here tonight a changed person. But as Evan begins to just lead us in this time of worship, I want to just encourage you to, as you feel free, as you feel led, you can stay here, you can continue to worship. Let's just bring our hearts before Him, all of us. And for those of you who are sitting, if you want to join any of them up here, and just an act of humility to just say, Lord, here I am. For those of us who know the Lord, this is a time also where maybe we need to pray and ask God to fill us afresh with His Spirit so that we can go out and we can tell a world out there that needs to know Him, that Jesus is the one who cleanses lepers. He's the one who cleanses sinners. He's the one who sets people free. Let's continue in this attitude of worship.
Oh, sacred King.